too much stuff in the way here, isn't there? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing day, the day that you came on earth as a tiny, vulnerable child to give us that gift, the gift of eternal life. May we today receive you afresh into our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit down. Well, have you all received your presents? No, not yet. Anybody opened a parcel yet? John, what was in your parcel? You can't remember. Oh dear. Oh dear, that's sad. Whiskey sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. What about you two over there? Have you opened your parcels yet? No, I haven't opened mine yet. Later. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, here we are, Christmas Day 2017. A very special time of the year when we celebrate and remember the birth of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. No doubt, as you came into church this morning, our welcomer Derek and our size people Carol and Barbara said Happy Christmas to you with big smiles, hugs and handshakes, greeting one another on this very special morning. I expect over the last couple of weeks you've all received a number of greeting cards, some traditional, snow, choir boys, angels, others comical, big Santa, reindeers with big red noses, or perhaps one of those all singing, all dancing e-cards. Many of you receive one of those? Yeah, they're really good. Yeah, they're fantastic. I wonder how you respond to them all. Sometimes the complete absence of any personal touch can be a bit disappointing. But occasionally, a card arrives with a bit of news from an old acquaintance with whom we've lost contact, and we are, I hope, delighted. Today, we are thinking about the nativity story from Luke's Gospel. It features a high number of messages or greetings from God, delivered by various messengers with high drama, and the message receives very different but equally valid responses. Luke goes out of his way to emphasize that Jesus was born in poor circumstances, with none of the advantages of position, despite being of the line of David. His parents were migrants, friendless in the town, and could find no room for them, for their mother, to give birth. They ended up in a sort of family room. Imagine a large, open dwelling room on two levels, and the animals, the humans at the top level and the animals at the bottom level. And it was here that Mary places her newborn son in the hayfield trough of the cattle, warm, dry and safe. Sure, the cattle weren't eating out of it at the time. Jesus may be born the son of a homeless migrant, but his true significance is proclaimed by the angels. There may not be an extended family to rejoice around the newborn, but there is joy in heaven. Firstly, the angels bring word of a newborn child, a saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Our flashiest e-card, Christmas e-card, fades to obscurity in the light of this display of angelic glory. The first, last, and never to be repeated Christmas spectacular. We often depict angels as children with chubby cheeks, floating on cotton wool clouds, playing harps. Maybe there's one perched on the top of your Christmas tree. This is a very long way from the accounts of angelic appearances that surround the birth of Jesus. Angels are frightening, powerful beings. They usually come bearing an announcement. The word angel means messenger. But this is not just information. Nothing like looking at the newspaper columns for births, deaths, and for forthcoming marriages. This announcement has you pinned to the wall. It involves you, Keith, Samuel, Ruth, myself, everybody in this church. And who is there to receive it? A bunch of poor, uneducated shepherds. Now, they were generally of dodgy repute. They trespass on people's land and let their sheep eat other people's crops. They rarely made it to temple or synagogue because they were roaming the countryside and were therefore frowned upon. But you see, these men proved to be of an inquiring mind and outgoing spirit. They act upon what they've heard and set off in search of the child. I don't know about you, but can you imagine what these men saw? It blows your mind away. God entrusts the most incredible message the world has ever heard to people no one believed. He doesn't wait for them to make it to the temple. He has an angel to go out to them in the fields. Now, I explained this at Spotlight the last time we met, but I went to Bethlehem and saw the angel of the shepherd's fields, and it's not like a normal field. It's actually on tiers. So it sort of goes like that and then like that and that like that. So you sort of imagine this very deviated slope. And this is what the shepherds saw when they were out. It must have been an awesome thing that they had seen. This glory of this angel just lighting up the whole of the sky. The waves of praise, song and joy succeed one another. The great army of heaven, the shepherds as they bustle along, all those who heard the news, and the shepherds again as they disappear back into the night. It's part of popular Christmas tradition that the higher brows, wise men bring costly gifts to Jesus, while the poor shepherds bring nothing but themselves. But this is not true of the story. What the shepherds bring is God's message from the angels, and we are told everyone who heard it were amazed. The shepherds strike us as straightforward, faithful people who, when they see God at work and hear good news, are stirred into action, searching it out and sharing the message with others in a bold, uncomplicated way. They are last seen going on their way, glorifying and praising God. A fine example of a godly way of life. Now we turn to Mary. She must have found the shepherd's words especially profound because they echo the angel Gabriel's earlier visit to her, foretelling of the birth of a child who would live in an extraordinary relationship with God. Now Jesus has been born, and while he appears ordinary enough, and he was a tiny baby, with all the familiarities of a normal human tiny baby, newborn. But his extraordinary nature is affirmed by more angels via the humble shepherds. And Mary's response is very different from that of the shepherds. Luke says she treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. She's not quick to tell others what has happened. Perhaps it's too personal and intimate. Even her joy seems restrained, only surfacing when she visited Elizabeth. And she doesn't draw conclusions from the prophetic words and strange events. It's clear that Mary is being given a gift that will make her unique and blessed in the history of God's dealings with human beings forever. Mary's treasuring of these things suggests she is keeping hold of them before God until their meaning and importance become clear at some point in the future. She is patient, faithful, and thoughtful. The shepherd's open and complicated response to God might remind us of when we came to faith, full of enthusiasm and confidence in what God is doing, and bold to speak about it. If it comes from the heart, it's a great state to be in, and we should all desire such an attitude and encourage it in others. Boldness and enthusiasm are infectious and motivating. The church needs these qualities. But Mary offers something different: quiet contemplation. This too is very necessary in our personal Christian lives and in our church. There is always mystery in the Christian faith, not least in today's celebration of Jesus' birth, born as a human baby. You know, my friends, sometimes we sanitize Christmas and make it a time of tinsel and fairy lights. The reality was, however, that Jesus came among us in dire poverty. He was born in a stable, not a palace. And his ministry was about suffering, not status, about hardship, not luxury. But deep pondering or reflection over time yields new insights into our faith, some exciting, some disturbing, but all enriching. God's ways are often a puzzle, but we are to treasure what he has given us and ponder it in our hearts. Just as the angels come as God's messengers with powerful prophetic words and signs, we too, and that means everyone, are announcers of good news of great joy. It's an amazing message. Now, we cannot finish without referring to the final message in this reading, if a sign counts as a message. According to the angels, this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloths and lying in a manger. This message from God is not simply a matter of receiving words, but comes in the form of a person, Jesus, the man who is God. It is our response to and our relationship with this Jesus, whose birthday we are celebrating, that counts with God, and that gives meaning to our shepherd-like outgoingness and our Mary-like contemplative. The angels talk of a sign, which is the baby Jesus. Reminds us that ultimately Christmas and the Christian faith are about our relationship with this Jesus, while words take second place. Christmas is about God's pure love for man. It is a reminder of what Christ gave up in heaven just so he could come and save us. And more than anything else, it is a time to put our focus back on Jesus and the great work he did while on earth. In Jesus Christ, we have the greatest gift anyone could ever have, the gift of eternal life, a non-perishable gift that will endure without end, without a returns policy, and with unlimited guarantee of God's faithfulness to us. In Jesus Christ, God has given us himself, not just at Christmas, but for all eternity. Just like our salvation, I can't think of a better gift. Can you? And a very happy and blessed Christmas to you all. Amen.